You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. We got the local, the state, the national man. We cover down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, we are solid conservative and just plain right. Well, if you have been watching the news at all, you've been hearing the word fentanyl. And fentanyl has been flooding into our country in record amounts like we have never seen before. It's a synthetic drug that is causing deaths. Right now, story off of WTVM, which is on the eastern side of Alabama over in Lee County area, fentanyl overdoses increased by 20% in Alabama in the past year. I've got a quote here from State Representative Matt Simpson, who says that there were 74 overdose deaths in his county, one of his counties, just last year. Of those, 81% of them were fentanyl. It's that way everywhere, and it's getting worse. So before I go into what I've got in my hands to talk about, I want to bring in an expert, somebody who has been researching, advising, and even helping to prosecute issues related to fentanyl, and that's my friend Barry Mattson. Barry and I met when I was serving in the Alabama legislature. Barry is the executive director of the Alabama District Attorneys Association, and he's on the line right now. Barry, how you doing today, man?
Doing great. It's great to hear you on the air, and I really enjoy your program. But thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, listen, Barry, I can remember, my recollection was you actually spoke to a committee that I was a member of, and I want to say this has got to be 5 years ago. And at that point, fentanyl was becoming a thing, and you told us, you said, if I had a little bit on my pinky right now, at the tip of my pinky, it could kill everybody in this room. And I remember thinking, what kind of a drug is this? But here we are, and it's exponential now. Talk to us.
It really is. I mean, two grains equivalent to two grains of salt is enough to kill a person. And so this is not just a drug that is killing people by the hundreds of thousands in our country and leading cause by far of all overdose deaths. But it's also, I think it's a risk to our national security. This is something that grew out of the opioid crisis. We had overprescriptions and obviously overusage of opioids through the prescription process, Lortab, Oxycontin, things of that nature. And then they would combine those with buprenorphines, the Xanax type drugs. And we had a huge increase in overdose deaths. We were seeing that. So we try to develop remedies to fight that and educate and prevent it. And then fentanyl has always been around. It's a legally manufactured drug that can be prescribed for late stage cancer deaths. It's a very potent pain medicine. But what's happened is the cartels, with the help of the Chinese, supplying the precursors or the ingredients for the fentanyl, and also meth now. Meth is still the number one drug of choice and addiction in our country and in our state.
Wow.
But it's a slow death. It really is horrible on the body system. The fentanyl is the acute problem. It's the most deaths right now, and it's the one that's getting most of the attention because, one use and you're dead. But we have the Chinese providing the precursor chemicals to the Mexican cartels. They manufacture the fentanyl down there in super labs, along with methamphetamine and other labs, and then they import it in across the border to our country, and it's killing hundreds of thousands of people.
Well, Barry, let me jump in there and ask you, because last night when you and I were texting back and forth, you told me that you had actually been down to Mexico either with or on behalf of the DEA and studied cartel operations. I mean, this is a calculated thing. They know what they're doing. They're flooding our country with it. It's an intentional thing, correct?
It is. I went down there with a delegation, and it was the first of such delegations, and then it was stopped by the Mexican government after our visit. But we actually went to out in Sinaloa and went out into the southern Mexico into a rainforest where they had seized a meth lab that was probably 50 to 75 acres of land.
Wow.
That was producing millions of pounds of methamphetamine a week. This one lab was. It was massive. The vats that were producing the meth were the size of a vehicle, and there were hundreds of them. And they had seized it and were going to destroy this lab. So we got to go out, and I personally saw all the precursor chemicals there with Chinese shipping labels on them. And they're being made in Mexico with Chinese products. And then the fentanyl labs are a much, I don't want to say smaller operation because they're massive, but they can be made in smaller quarters and more in a sterile environment. But the fentanyl labs are down there as well. In the same scenario, the precursors come from China to the cartels. They manufacture the fentanyl and they send it up here. They press it into pills that look like OxyContin, that look like Xanax, that looked like Loratabs. You put one in one hand and one in the other, you couldn't tell the difference. So, you know, you buy, you know, off the black market, you go online and purchase what you think is Loratabs, a kid does or a person does, or they buy it from a friend, or they're at a party and they take one from a friend thinking it's a Xanax, and then it's got fentanyl in it. And remember what I said, equivalent of 2 grains of salt is enough fentanyl to kill you.
Yeah, and Barry, I got to ask you too. They're making these things look like candy now. They've got the rainbow version that looks like sweet tarts, and there's no reason for that except to try and make them attractive and maybe accessible to kids.
Yeah, Phil, they're in business just like any legitimate industry would, and they do market research, they develop products, they do sample sizes. And they test market things. I would say probably 8 or 9 years ago, the stimulant of black market stimulant of choice was cocaine, and then made into crack cocaine. But meth has displaced that. We've done such a good job of crushing the meth labs here that were so environmentally dangerous and caused so many problems here. We were successful, particularly in Alabama, with some legislation that we passed. That, of course, there was a void in the market, and the market, you know, if there's a void, somebody's going to fill it. And the cartels filled that with meth made across the border. It's a pure form, but meth and fentanyl now are the opioid and stimulant of choice of among all communities. You know, you did have usually cocaine was more of inner city, meth was more rural. Now meth crosses all borders, as does fentanyl. Everybody, the numbers are up all across the board for fentanyl. Well, and so, I'll tell you one.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead and say it.
I was going to say on fentanyl, you know, we actually, the traffickers will actually kill people. It sounds crazy, but it's that's the world we're in. But if they have an overdose death, then people that are addicted are attracted to that area of town because there were overdose deaths, because that means that, well, maybe that's a stronger drug. I'm bulletproof. Nothing will happen to me. So when we have overdose deaths in certain areas of town, you'll see a rise in distribution in that area because addicts who really have no control anymore, the drug is so powerful, you know, they don't want to take it. They don't want to use it. They don't want to destroy their lives, but they have no choice because they can't get away from heroin once it has them, or fentanyl. And so we'll see that, I've seen interviews with drug traffickers that, you know, if business drops off, they'll intentionally spike a supply, so they'll have some deaths in an area.
Wow.
Because then addicts will be attracted to it.
Wow.
So they don't care. They don't care who they kill. It's all about profits. It's frightening.
Which is kind of crazy. I mean, where have you ever heard of anything that is being manufactured and sold where they feel the need to have to kill off their consumer at some point? And that's the craziest marketing scheme I have ever heard, but that's the sick version of where this world is right now. And so let me ask you this, and this may be above your ken, if you know what I'm saying. It may be outside of your wheelhouse, but if we know that everything being shipped in is coming from China, has there been any movement at all by the U.S. government that you're aware of to try and interdict the supply of goods going into Mexico to build these labs with?
Our government reached out, and China finally scheduled some of the precursors. And scheduling means it's illegal to sell or distribute unless it's controlled by certain means, or illegal to distribute some of the precursors. But frankly, I have no trust in them, and I don't believe that that they're enforcing it. A lot of the it's cheaper to ship to mail things from China to the United States, and what you actually see is they will ship the precursors into the United States through the ports of call and on the California coast. They'll ship them into the United States because it's cheaper, and then they're taken down across the border into Mexico, where they get to the super labs. They make it into fentanyl or make it into meth, and then it's smuggled back into this country. So they actually send the well, the precursors into this country, and then they're taken into Mexico. There's absolutely no reason we can't do more. Our government couldn't do more. Our federal government couldn't do more. If the Chinese and the Mexican government came in on our shores and killed 100,000 people, that'd be an act of war. And that's what's happening. I mean, we legitimately have another country, China, involved in the trade of, and it's not just the 100,000 people that died, it's the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people whose lives are destroyed through addiction.
Yeah.
You know, they've lost, you know, their families, they've lost their source of income, and they're going to die, and it's just they just haven't died yet.
Hey, Barry.
There are no old heroin addicts.
Hey, Barry, I tell you what, we've got to take a break right now. Can you hang on through the break? I'd like to continue this because I want to talk about where we as a state can go in terms of, you know, things like sentencing guidelines and that kind of thing, and get your thoughts on that. You good to hang on during the break?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate it. Folks, we're talking to Barry Mattson. He's executive director for the Alabama District Attorneys Association, and he's got firsthand knowledge of the war that we are in right now, and he's making a great point. If a foreign government came onto our soil and killed 100,000 of our people, it wouldn't be an act of war. We would be up in arms. We would be moving out against them right now, and yet China and Mexico and the cartels are doing it now. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, man. We'll take that break right now. We will come right back and finish up this conversation with Barry Mattson, Alabama Executive Director of Alabama District Attorneys Association. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all in North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right. Time now, 3:24 p.m. We're going back to the phones right now. Barry Mattson, Executive Director of the Alabama District Attorneys Association, has been in the thick of this issue of fentanyl and what it's doing to our state, to our community, to our court system, to our Department of Corrections, all of it. And Barry, let me ask you, there's been some talk about the legislature getting involved and maybe even doing some mandatory sentencing guidelines. What do you see as being necessary? How can we as a state address this issue?
Well, what's happened over the last few years with some of the sentencing reform efforts, and I think some of them have fallen flat because what's happened is it's taken away our ability to hold people accountable. You know, a lot of people get addicted because someone enabled their behavior. They looked the other way. They gave them money, let them go down the road of addiction to the point where there was no return. But the state has kind of gotten that way as far as being an enabler, because if someone is possession of fentanyl is a Class D felony, and it was newly created a few years ago, and a Class D felony, if I get arrested for possession of fentanyl, I can't go to jail. The judge can't send me to jail. He's forbidden from sending me to jail. And not that you want to send a person for possession of fentanyl to jail, but you want them to go into drug court and be able to turn their life around, because that's really the only way someone can do it is through accountability and through treatment. And they can't do it themselves, or they wouldn't be where they are. And so right now we find somebody in possession of fentanyl. You know, we brought them in. If they plead guilty, they get probation. They go out back on the streets, and ultimately they die. And so our drug courts and our district and our diversion programs you know, are falling apart because we can't hold folks accountable. And then a few years ago, we didn't have a trafficking statute in fentanyl. So if you possessed, you know, a spoonful or a truckload, it was still a Class D. So we struggled. Wow. It was quite a fight, but we got a trafficking statute passed so we can hold traffickers accountable for the heavier weights. But we need to make sure that we're able to hold people accountable and that we really tell the truth. Our prisons are full of violent offenders. 80-85% are, you know, rape, robberies, and murders, and the remainder that are not are traffickers or people that are there for drug treatment that are kind of flushing in and out of system every 90 or 120 days through the drug treatment program. So, you know, the narrative that our prisons are full of low-level drug offenders is just not true. And it wasn't true for a long time, but it's certainly not true now. And so we really need to applaud efforts of the legislature going into this session wanting to tackle fentanyl from a trafficking standpoint for the people that are selling it, the people that when they sell it and cause a death, to hold them accountable potentially for the death that they caused when they sold the fentanyl. So there's a lot of things we can do as a state to address it. And think
Barry,
listeners too.
Before we run out of time too, we've got about a minute and a half. Before we run out of time, do you see, like, for instance, we have the Port of Mobile, which is a major port for shipping and receiving goods in the southeastern United States. Do you see anything regarding the shipping of the precursor? You talked about a lot of them are shipped into the United States. Do you see anything about restrictions at the port of entries for these materials, these precursor materials?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of that's controlled by international treaty and trade agreements. But to the extent that when these products hit our soil, I think there's anything that we can do to identify where they're coming from and if they're, you know, from China to the United States and then on to Mexico, that's, you know, that's a clue in my world. And I think that's something that you know, we should inspect and seek out answers for, because it's the numbers are just going to go up. We're not at the top of the numbers right now. I think it'll be more and more next year and the next year as this drug becomes the drug of choice.
Well, Barry, thanks for what you've been doing. I know the DA's Association fights the fight. I appreciated working with you when I was down there in the state Senate, and I appreciate what you're doing now, and I'd love to keep you on tap for maybe a future conversation about this as things progress, all right?
You just call me. I'd be happy to be there, and just hope everyone stays safe out there.
All right. Thanks, man. All right, that was Barry Mattson, Executive Director of the Alabama District Attorneys Association. I mean, that's basically the association for the guys that prosecute crime. And he's a career prosecutor himself, and he's also been down there sort of fighting for legislation. There were times when I would see what I would call a soft-on-crime bill, and the person who was there to say, that's a really bad idea, Senator or Representative, please don't go down that road. You know, let me show you why. It was Barry Mattson. And his staff, and they do good work. So, folks, I'm just telling you, we're going to talk about it more when I get back. I've got a stack of stuff here we're going to kind of walk through. Things you need to know about what your different sheriffs and communities are saying about how it's impacting our state. Fentanyl is real, and it's atrocious, and it's a monstrous little chemical. 2 grains, like literally the size of 2 grains of salt, can kill you. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More on the fright of fentanyl, number 2 in the Triple Dipper, when we get back. Stay tuned.